Trans conectada a David Lee Roth. Prepárate para combustir. Roth, directo. 6 a.m. You are connected to David Lee Roth. Prepare for combustion. Roth direct, 6 a.m.
Naked, steaming eyes. Keep it up, keep it up, baby. Keep it up, man. Well, old time to wake up and smell the toxic waste. I got the big shout out for the man who shoved it out with no doubt. I'm talking about the pickle man who kicked the butt on a couple of homeboys who thought they could but never can. Oh, do it now. I'm talking about right here coming from the New York Post. It says the gutsy gherkin seller who kicks robber in the groin at shop. A pair of ski mask Peter Pipers picked on the wrong pickle pepper down on the Lower East Side pickler. That's the guys who entered the pickle guy's shop on Essex Street at around 8:30 in the morning as owner Alan Kaufman was preparing to open for business. One pointed a gun at Alan Kaufman, the veteran cucumber cure, but then the less dynamic duo got their ass kicked when he kicked one right in the marbles. Congratulations, Mr. Gutsy Gherkinsella. I know the pickle man down there. I recommend the spicy, super spicy pickle. Super spicy pickle, first thing in the morning, you can drink twice as much beer as usual.
Yeah, man.
I'm talking about the musical subbit. Here we go. The Bomb. Mr. Brittany, Kevin Federline. You know he was here. He was on the radio. We talked about his record, right? He's already claiming Kevin Federline must already know that his rap album is gonna bomb. He compares its release to the devastation of war. That's probably the most poetic statement he's made in his career. Forget to say. Kevin Federline, you know him as Britney's best, that's Britney's husband, right? Animal, how do you know? Do you know Kevin Federline? Has he ever been into the shop? Did he ever show for you?
No, I've never seen him in the shop, man, but one of my best friends is working on his album, and he also doing Britney Spears' album and stuff, so, you know.
Oh, is this a producer that you know?
Yeah, his name is Demon. That's Dionne Warwick's son. He's like doing the album and stuff. He's really good.
And what did he say about the record, man? Is the record going to be any good or what?
Well, he said on Britney it's going to be pretty good, but I think he only got one track on his album, though.
He's got one track on Kevin Federline's album.
Yeah.
Ouch, priorities are already stacking up against the kid. It looks like what he says here. He says, sure, there will be initial shock and awe. Ooh, political content. Or as much political content as Kevin Federline's ever going to have. K-Fed said in the week's Newsweek, but they've already said so much stuff about me, it can't get worse. Bad news, son. Yes, it can.
Yeah. Do it now. Do it now.
Looks like Britney Spears' husband's first single, the dance track, Popo Zhao. And by the way, I think it's Carnival now. I'm seeing that they're having Carnival over at Scores tomorrow night. I may attend, allegedly. That's it. Okay, Popo Zhao means big ass in Brazilian slang. I don't know if that's like eponymously. Like, I put out a record called David Lee Roth. Dionne Warwick put out an album called Dionne Warwick, Kevin Federline put out an album called Big Ass. That's not me in the background, but it could be me.
Yeah, do it now.
Anyway, he's been ridiculed. He's been the object of ridicule. He's been the object of a harsh rebuke. Not here on this show. We gave him his mic. He did what he liked. Anyway, he garnered his website 2 million hits within the week. If any album even half that attention gets it, he said, watch out. Okay, we're going to salute Kevin Federline. Big ass. For the show. For the show.
Red Bull for Kevin. Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of this. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Do it now, do it now.
Isn't it a little bit early for one of these? I'd never admit this stuff in public.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's get to the really important stuff here. Nick Lachey reserves rights to seek support. I don't know if this is like a Dionne Warwick kind of a moment, but I kind of knew it was coming. Anyways, Nick Lachey wants his, and maybe what's Jessica Simpson's also. Ouch. In court papers filed Friday in response to Simpson's December 16th divorce filing, Nick said he was reserving the right to seek spousal support, even though he can't spell it. It doesn't say that here, but I said it. And even though she has asked the court not to give him any. I can imagine Jessica Simpson's attorneys talking like that, actually, right? You know, he shouldn't have any, like, whatever. Like, Your Honor, whatever. And the emails are stacking up. I don't know if this is the Lachey, Nick, Jessica article or if they want to comment on Federline, but it's already coming in from Seymour, Connecticut, Boca Raton, Norway, Pascagoula, Mississippi, Nashville, Tennessee. And yes, I can spell Norway. Don't ask for the rest just yet, baby.
Do it now. Do it now.
Okay, somehow I knew this was coming. Is that Vuja Day? When I forgot that I already knew this was going to happen, and then it just did, but forget it anyway. It's like Nick Lachey is claiming that he wants what's his, and possibly what's half of Jessica Simpson's, too. Which half of Jessica Simpson would you claim, animal? Seriously.
I would probably claim her backside.
Okay. That's not what I meant, but it's a better answer. Go ahead, Nick. Anyway, come on, let's get some priorities here, man. These are the priorities.
Hit it up, man. Oh!
Do it now, do it now.
Anyway, the singing star couple who starred in their own MTV reality show, Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica, had no prenuptial agreement. Do you think the father recommended for or against that? He's got the business mind. Obviously, he's got the only mind in the family. I don't know the mom, but as far as the business mind, it's got to be Jessica Simpson's dad. And I have to imagine that he would have said, you've got to sign some kind of prenuptial agreement. I got to imagine. Or would he have suggested otherwise? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because now, look what's going to happen. What do you think? Is he the responsible part of the famous part? Seriously, is Nick the one who anybody cares about? I mean, they're a nice pair, but who cares about Nick? Get it? Anyway, the 32-year-old Lachey also asked the court to confirm that miscellaneous jewelry and other personal effects, blah, blah, blah. Lachey, who gained fame as a member of the boy band 98 Degrees. Quick, animal, sing me your favorite 98 Degrees song. Turn the track off. Here, go ahead.
Everybody has a home and nobody goes away. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just making up something.
Okay, now, unlike Shakira, I give you an A+. Back, please.
Yeah, yes.
Do it now. Do it now.
Anyway, Lachey, who gained fame as a member of the Foy band 98 Degrees, had more earning power when they... Hold on, turn the track off. Do that one more time, Animal. That was... That's
you
the,
like that?
That's the best thing in my coffee. Go ahead, man.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just making up something. Sounds good to me, but don't egg me because it's not my career. Hey, hey.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Get
sir.
Up. You know, you keep that up, you could be sleeping with Jessica Simpson.
You think so? Oh, I think they might egg me, man.
No, no, no. How could she ignore you, handsome? Come on, man. You'd be show up at the pool at the Chateau Marmont wearing some board shorts and some Oakleys, man. You do it now, man. You could walk up to her. You could jump in the pool, and she would pop out the water onto the cement, man. And she would be like sitting there going, oh, man. It was like a tsunami. It was like a tsunami of animal, man. An animal nami. And it blasted all those rest of them skinny white little nobodies out the water. And it would leave her there quaking in fear until you say, yo, baby, you've heard me talking on the radio, oh, yeah. Perhaps. Yeah, that's...
Sound like this. Sound like this.
And then Jessica Simpson disappears into the upper reaches of the Chateau Marmont Hotel until further notice and further... And further, and achingly further.
That's her upstairs yelling for room service.
Well, the wrecking crew is certainly awake here, huh? Anyways, Lachey, who gained fame as a member of the boy band 98 Degrees. Hey, didn't we take this route about six times ago? Seems like we just passed that part of the schoolhouse. He had more earning power when the couple wed in October. However, Simpson's fame skyrocketed during the marriage. The 25-year-old singer, actress, reportedly earned more than $30 million last year, including earnings from her big screen debut playing Daisy Duke in the Dukes of Hazzard movie. We're all going to salute the Daisy Dukes fans. I did not actually see the Daisy Dukes movie. I have seen the video many times, and I am approving. I support it. I don't know if it's completely acting. I don't even know that. She looked like Britney Spears to me in the video, okay? But I've got to believe that she's the one who's actually responsible for all of the income there. I wonder if anybody actually believes that he's worth half of the thing, unless you agree with me on this. Like the way I take four sides? Oh, yeah. I'm not myself this morning, but who is? I'm a little schizophrenic. That makes six of us. Okay. If you think, as I do, that Nick Lachey had the patience of a saint and that he had the tenacity and the endurance of three saints, putting up with that buzz brain. And I don't mean when you wake up in the morning and you hear this. When I'm calling you, Jessica. I mean, like when those achingly difficult moments, like she's having trouble reading, the waiter hands her a menu. Come on. Yoga, I'm not averse. But, you know, those difficult moments, the chicken of the sea moments, etc. You've got to admit, he has the patience of a junkie. A junkie will sit and sit and sit and sit. And no matter what else is going on, he'll sit. No canine, no human. Nobody does that as well as a junkie, except perhaps Nick Lachey. Man, I said. How many times did you ball up your fist, you don't ball up your fist for Jessica Simpson. You open hand. I don't know. Maybe I just had an idea. Why don't we had so much success picking songs that would send you to rehab. How about songs to beat your wife to? What do you think? Not that anybody ever wanted to open hand Jessica Simpson, unless she asked me three times and I got her to sign one of those things that the lawyer had on the paper there. That's it. But But that's the thing about television is they assume characters. They become like cartoon characters. And just as the characters that we grew up with, you know, things blow up and their heads are all black and their eyes blink and the skull falls off, you know. And you wish that upon people. Well, you do. Teenagers wish it upon their parents. Cartoon characters, birds wish it upon kitty cats, you know. You grow up, you wish it upon your homeroom teacher. Those of you who have, like myself, been through a few bitter relationships. I think this is one of Animal's favorite show openings so far. What do you think, Ben?
Oh, man, it's a riot, man. I'm loving it, man. Maybe he wants to have mental cruelty or something. You never know.
Ooh, wow. You have a legal concept there that I had not purviewed before.
Like you said, this is Animal's house, baby.
It is, completely. So you're saying mental cruelty, mental anguish, probably. I'm going to work with you as kind of an apprentice here. But really, what else do you think he could plead that he would get half of her fortune? Go on.
Probably staying up all night, smoking about 4 packs of cigarettes a night, all that kind of stuff.
Does she do that? Does she do that?
Maybe he does. Just because of the stress and stuff, you know?
Oh, that it was induced that heretofore he had not smoked. Until he met her. And you know what? He's always got a beer in one hand, right?
Yeah, I don't think he used to drink, too.
You know, this, dames is grief, babe. Anyways, I think he's going to have a hard time getting half, unless you agree with me. That he was the one who had to do the heavy lifting. No pun intended. Hey, don't turn the music up for that one, Hutch. Jesus. Do it now. Wonder when the trial starts. Are we going to get as much trial impact from this as we did from the Michael Jackson encounter? Because they had people acting out the parts and dressing as an act, you know, folks with the wigs and the clothing. Will we now see that, besides Mad TV, which is, you know, or Saturday Night Live, will we start to see beyond cartoons, which could start a riot? There could be like a Jessica Simpson jihad, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Unintentionally, I sounded like a Cherokee there, but, you know, Cherokees could have a jihad. Knock it off, Hutch. Yeah. Nick and Jessica already are cartoons. What do? Do you sample a cartoon in order to make a cartoon? That's a multimedia event. Now they're back in showbiz. Just when you pull them out, they come struggling back in. You do love... I love Jessica Simpson. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I think Nick was kind of weighing her down. I think she was dragging him up and down the field around her ankle, so to speak. And I think he was unbelievably patient with that girl and the family more than anything else. You know, when you go to a wedding and they show a slide up there, and they show it once and says, remember, if you marry the girl, you marry the family. Yes, it's true. That's a common announcement. Second time they flash it, remember, if you marry the girl, you marry the family. Fifth, eighth, 14th time they flash it up there, you got to start taking notes. Nick, wake up. Wake up, Nick.
Wake up. Do it now.
Anyway, we got a lot of great guests coming up here at 7 in about 45 minutes, actually. Olympic gold medalist Sean White. He just won for snowboarding, and we got him here first. He's going to be here with the gold medal. He brought the bling. He's got the bling. He is the bling. He's Sean White, and he's the man who's going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. He is the bling. What do you get when you dial Roth Ritter? You get the bling. And don't forget, Alex Lalas from the New Jersey Metro Stars, New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. Why is soccer going to rule the earth someday? He will tell us. And then, why do we bother snowboarding? Why do we bother competing? Why do we bother exercising and weight training and diet? For porn stars. And we have the very best one, Jenna Hayes. She's going to be on at 9 o'clock. Don't go away, baby.
Yeah.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Wolf, 6 a.m. Wolf, 6 a.m.
Check it out.
Life is slow when the groove is on.
Oh, play it, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, one more shout out to my homeboy who sells the pickles down on Essex Street. I've actually shopped there a number of times. When I ride my bicycle back from helicopter, then I go right past that. And he's probably setting up his barrels, even though it's freezing cold. I think it may even be his mom or his wife who sits out there. They're usually wearing so much warm gear, they look like big hand grenades. They sit out there in front with the barrels with all the different kinds of pickles set up in front of them. The hot pickles, the spicy ones with the hot peppers and everything in them, will change your haircut, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to send somebody down there at some point today. If not today, then we'll get them up for tomorrow, because the pickles go with everything, man. Especially hot sauce, you know? It goes with your scrambled eggs. It goes with your shot of tequila at a happy hour. If you're in Texas, baby. Yeah. Anyways, it's called The Pickle Guys on Essex. The Pickle Guys. The Pickle Guys on Essex Street. It's down on the Lower East Side down there. And the free shout-out, we'll give them commercials for the rest of the day, because a couple of thugs, that's the neighborhood down there, a couple of thugs walked in with a gun, and they were going to rob the guy, and evidently he beat him with a broom, and then he kicked one of them in the groin. And I'll have to finish the article to find if the two attackers actually were the attackers probably fled.
Yeah.
But this guy's a hero. He's here in the Post, and it says Pickled Pecker Thwarted. Great poetry, babe. Speaking of great poetry, Guns N' Roses, they're living like a poetry, like a poem. It doesn't rhyme, but it's a great poem. More like Shakespearean. That's what Axl is. He is Shakespearean. My big question is, if anybody knows for a fact, 866-313-3733, when it says Guns N' Roses, is this the Guns N' Roses with Axl and Slash and the guy on the bass, whatever, isn't it Duff or whatever? You guys are shaking your heads like a couple of those little dolls that the toy guy left sitting in the back of the Hummer going doo, 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 doo. Me too. I don't know. I've been fed so much information, and I just read something on the news, on the show here, that discussed that Slash had songs or something on the record or whatever. Animal, you know these guys. Weigh in. What do you think, man?
Well, you know, I think that it's probably not the original band this time, man, because, you know, like, Revolver is doing pretty good, I heard, and I don't know. It's like, you just have to wait and see, I guess.
Okay, well, I'm not going to wait and see, I guess, because you know what? This is truth in advertising. We had the FX guy from Page Six or from The Post come on down here and talk about this. This is truth in advertising, because when I see Guns N' Roses and I saw a little name, you know, Slash was happy that there were songs involved or whatever, then I start making these assumptions that this is one of my favorite bands, and they are, and they always will be, and everything else is kind of like your bastard cousin that you go, oh, Mom, do we got to take Bob to the prom?
Yeah.
That's a Guns N' Roses song in the background there. Welcome to the jungle! Not so early. Well, it's okay if it's this early, just not all day. Okay, all day. But okay, I'm in. I'm in, baby. I got to ask, 866-313-3733. Give me a call. Let me know if this is the real Guns N' Roses, because it says they're going to Rio de Janeiro. Hey, falo suficiente português para falar com você. Let me do the intros. If, in fact, this is the real Guns N' Roses, okay? Because evidently Brazil is going off the hook. They've got a great president down there. Bono was just visiting with him. I understand that he's a liberal president for probably one in very few in many years down there. The Stones just played to a million people down there. And if the real Guns N' Roses says they're going to headline day two of this year's Rock in Rio, I've played in all over that part of the country. May 26th, 27th, June 2nd and 4th in Lisbon in Portugal as well. I don't know. Tune me in, babes. 866-313-3733. Okay, Rick, he's on the phone here. Give me the love, brother. David Lee Roth, D-Row in the house. What do you know? What do you know?
What do you know? Rich, how you doing?
Go ahead, Rich.
No, it's none of the former guys of GNR.
Oh, come on. All right, now who are the suspects? Please tell me the names. Please tell me tell me who the names are.
What, the new guys?
Yeah, do you know?
I saw them 2 years ago on the return of on the Video Music Awards, and it was a pseudo-slash guitar player with a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head.
Okay, well, when you got a scrawny little tree, you're going to need a lot of tinsel, like Grandma Roth used to say. And you're saying it's the return of, and then you stopped and went dot, 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 comma, when you probably realized, as did Animal here, that they never actually left. That band never existed until that very moment. Are you even a fan of that band, Rick? Tell me.
The new band?
Yeah.
No, I have no use for the new band.
Yeah, me neither. And, you know, I've gave them a bit of a chance there musically, you know, in terms of what they did on stage here. And I've got a little note here that says the only real band member is Axl. And he's running with the name Guns N' Roses. Is that ethical or unethical? What do you think, Rick?
He owns the licensing rights to the name Guns N' Roses.
That's a lawyer's answer, my friend. Is it ethical or is it unethical to everybody who's laboring under an illusion that that's Guns N' Roses, like I was up until this phone call?
I think it's unethical as going back to the Beatles. When Pete Best left, should they have been called the Beatles? No, if you want to call it that.
I got a problem with that, okay? I think that if you have... Oh, I do. If you have the considered members who are the creative nucleus of a given band in the Rolling Stones, it's Mick and Keith and arguably the other guy, okay? In Van Halen,
right,
it's Roth and Eddie, okay?
Right.
In Zeppelin, it's the singer and the guitar player. In Guns N' Roses, you've got to at least have the guitar player. It's two words always. Lennon, McCartney, Roth, Van Halen, the guy. And the guy and the Stones and the guy and the guy and the guy. If it's one guy, then why don't they call it something else instead of fooling everybody? You agree or disagree?
I agree, Dave. And that technically, when you left Van Halen, it should have been called Van Horrible, correct?
I rest his case. Thanks for calling, Rick. Roth Radio. Where, welcome to Roth's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea, and we get the well ones who come and talk to me. We get good calls, don't we? We got good audience here. And if you want to hear more of us, don't forget, this is, now, I guess we've crossed a certain line here, where we've been on for, well, my broadcast career is almost 2 months old. But, at this point in time, if you guys are having a good time with this, then you got to call the real radio station, especially all of you who are listening in on davidleeroth.com, okay? And get with the program directors, get with the station directors, get with your favorite disc jockeys and the traffic girl and everybody in between, and start asking for the Roth groove, like a bottomless cup of attitude. And the second one is free, punk. You know what, Hutch, can we go to commercials a little bit early here, because we have a very special guest, and what I'd like to do is get him into you know, the combat chair a little bit early. Can we do that?
Of course we can, Doug.
Okay, because we have the Olympic gold medalist, Shaun White, and we're not going to fool around, you know, wasting time talking about the Federlines and the Lachey's and the Who. When we have an Olympic gold medalist here, he's going to be coming in. We're going to do some commercials early. We're going to get him in place, put him at the top of the ski run. This is the face that's going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone here. One of our most brilliant athletes is here, and he's going to be on right after this. Give it up, brother.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
He's known as the Flying Tomato. He's gonna be on the cover of the hottest magazines. He's gonna leave a trail of groupies and rubble like never before in the history of the Olympic sports. He's here. I don't know if he stayed up or if he waked up.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Shaun White. Give it
up.
Shaun, congratulations. You got the gold, man.
I know. Wait, hold on. I got it.
Oh, do you actually have it in your pocket?
They have it. Right?
Look at that. That's the size of a CD. That's some serious bling. That's the size of a CD.
And yeah, that's crazy.
Is that real gold?
I'm not sure. I should have asked, probably, huh?
No, you should make
I mean, I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Can I see that for a second here? It's the size. Oh, that's real gold. You can tell. Yeah. You can totally feel. I can have Animal bite it, and he'll tell you for sure.
All right, all right.
This weighs about 7 pounds or something. Like, you should make a wristwatch out of this, man. This is incredible. Where do you keep something like this, Shaun? I'm talking
to
Shaun White, gold medalist here from the snowboard half pipe. Where do you keep something like that?
I was asking the other guys, and the guy that got silver told me put it in the rearview mirror.
Oh, there you're gonna hang
for
it
for the ultimate parking pass. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I was probably. No,
I absolutely think that
somebody's
would be the
claiming
ultimate.
Like get a safe and get this and that. I was gonna do the old under the mattress. nobody finds that one.
Yeah, but somebody who's following your kind of a sport and your kind of an art form doesn't have a lot of permanent mattresses. You strike me as somebody who travels a lot. Where does traveling take you, man? In your art form?
Oh well, we've been running all around. I mean, we've been Australia, Japan, Norway. I mean, all over Europe. It's just like one of those things where it's awesome to travel. You meet so many new people, and then. I mean, we just follow the snow, so.
It's a lot like surfing, if I'm not mistaken, right? You use that as a passport, correct?
Basically, you know what I mean? We're always running around, and it's nice because I never like to be home too long.
Exactly. Hey, you are that wanderer. You're that spirit that goes along with rock and roll bands, and I understand that you play music as well, right?
I'm a huge fan, yeah. I picked up guitar like 2 years ago because it was awesome. Fender sponsored X Games.
Sure.
And so I won like X Games athlete guy or whatever. I don't know the title. And so I won like this car and a guitar. And so then I just started picking it up.
They gave you the car to keep the guitar in.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I'll take it.
Amazing. And how many countries have you gone and you snowboarded in? How many countries do you think are in your passport at this point?
I don't know. It's a trip. But you know what? I think the most fun is I love going to Japan for some reason because it sounds terrible. You're kind of like lawless out there. I mean, you can kind of, like, it's crazy because you play the like, oh, I can't speak your language card.
Sure.
And I mean, I've been pulled over by ski patrol and they have like sirens on the snowmobiles and they chase you down. And I mean, it's intense over there, but it's like the best time because you can just do whatever.
I've been there many times. Brian and I played there as well. We've got a fellow from Osaka, Japan in the band, actually. And you're absolutely on the money. I went to a golf course there 10 years ago, and they had a track that runs along the side of the thing. You put the golf club. I don't play golf for anything like, worth. But you put the thing, and it would ride along like Blade Runner along the side of the thing. And
Blade Runner.
Oh, totally. And people in white uniforms would take the bags off and serve them up to you. And it's like, it's future. It's also like Samurai there too. You also have that element. Did you pick up on that?
Oh no, because I just remember they'd run up to me and everything was just this. It was the X's with the arms like no, you can't do that. And I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? But I mean, it was a blast because you just like run around and it's totally different from here. So
I don't think that it's totally different from a lot of places like Salt Lake City or places like that where there's a lot of religious repression or whatever. And when people get religious repression, as in the X, you make your arms free and go, no, don't. When you do that to a culture, you get the best sports, the best music, the best haircuts, the best activity out of the girls at the parties. Guys, bear me out if I'm not mistaken.
I love the live guitar in here. That's awesome.
Track blasting, we call that.
That way
we can trick him, too, because we never play him the loop before we do it.
All right.
He's got to figure out the key. He's got to figure out the way it goes, etc.
Stumping him mid-jam. You're like switching it up.
What's your favorite band, Shaun? What are you listening to these days?
I'm a huge Zeppelin fan.
Okay, but new stuff, brand new stuff.
I love the White Stripes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like his voice. Instead of when he got 13, instead of going it went sideways.
No, that's, I mean, it's so funny because it's just, you know, it's just him and the drums. And
yeah, it's minimal.
Yeah.
It's like what you do, man. It's you and one simple piece of gear. How much does the gear that you use cost, actually?
You know, I don't.
You get it for free now.
No, but I mean, it's crazy. Like, when I started growing up, I mean, it was hard to afford the
what
whole
What do you mean when you started growing up? Yeah. You're still growing up, kid.
Well, I can't get away with saying back in the day. You know what I mean?
You don't
so
have
some guy tripped on me. I'm like, you know, back in the day, when he's just like, you can't say that yet.
You don't have a back in the day yet.
Yeah.
Treasure it. Stretch it like a chiclet to the moon,
oh,
baby.
Oh, I know, for real.
How old are you now?
19.
Oh, wow. When did you actually start in the sport?
I started when I was like 6. And then
stop right there. At 6 years old, how do you get involved in this? Does your dad or your mom put you on the slopes? Is that their idea?
Well, it was a trip because I live at the beach. Like, you know what I mean? It was like I live in San Diego. And so
a bigger trip than you think. Yeah, okay. I mean, how did you get from sand in your shoes to snow in your boots?
Yeah, I mean, we would just take like weekend trips to the mountain, and snowboarding got popular. My brother started doing it. And then, I mean, I started and I got sponsored when I was like 7. It just happened.
Who sponsors you at the age of 7? That sounds cool. Really?
No, it was Burton Snowboards. And I've been with them since I was, you know, I'm still with them. And it's crazy because I don't think I could have gotten where I am now without them, because it was like a family of 5. My whole family snowboards.
Oh, of course, so there's always going to be a sponsor or somebody, a supporter or somebody. I don't care if you're Mozart. You got to have some duke in a castle who's going to support you or say, I believe in what you're doing, whether it's a producer from a record company, you know, or somebody like...
Now you need it, though.
Oh, crazy. Definitely. You know, or who's the gal who sings whose sister is a hooker who supported her?
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey's sister was a hooker, and that's who paid for the demo tapes. There's always somebody, kiddo.
Nah, for real.
I maintain that the best artwork available today is either between the pages of a comic book or on the bottom of a snowboard. What do you think?
I'm a big fan of that, because we get away with everything, man. We get to do whatever we want on the board. So, and, I mean, that's awesome. Like I did this like clothing line with Burton, and they let me do whatever I want, man. I named the jacket that I made is the most unholy jacket ever. Like, you know what I mean? I do whatever I want.
I wanted
moms to like call up the snowboard shop and have to ask for the most unholy jacket ever. You know what I mean? I was like, it's like awesome.
You're going to the top. I sense it. Sean, I'm telling you, I've met different athletes, and they usually have an aura that's kind of auburn. Yours is like burning tires,
all
man.
Right. That's sick.
So tell me, how long did you train for the Olympics that you would take gold? How long does that take you, or do you even consider it training?
Well, that's what's weird is, I mean, I really can't call what I'm doing training. You know what I mean? It's practice for sure, but I mean, there's a lot of couch time.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That's what's crazy is I'll be honest, like, with the Olympics, like, it wasn't that big of a deal before the Salt Lake Games and the Americans swept the podium. And, I mean, it became this crazy thing where, like, all these older guys were doing comebacks. And, like, it got crazy where, like, I was like, man, maybe I should get up there and do something.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I had in my mind, it's a lot of mental, because you got to kind of, like, convince yourself it's all right to, you know, hit these, like, 90-foot jumps and stuff. So.
It's a lot of positive visualization.
Yeah, you got to, like, get it straight in your head before you do it.
Let me ask you that. Do you work with a sports psychologist? Do they have somebody like that available to you, or are you just invincible?
Like, man, I went pro at, like, 13, so, I mean, it's been a blur since then, but, like, I'm so used to it. I'll, like, do something, like, I skateboard as well, and people make fun of me, because I'll do something crazy on the skateboard and then, like, fall walking up the stairs. So I feel better, like, on the board. It's weird, man. It's a trip.
Well, you've never seen Eddie Van Halen try and drive an automobile,
all
either.
Right,
do you actually pre-visualize or do any of that, or are you just go for it?
Well, you know what's weird is, like, so they play, like, tons of music at the top, and, like, so I was in Torino, and I had him play, like, Back in Black before I dropped in, and then we had Communication Breakdown, and you get to pick whatever you want, and so I get pumped up when I hear that at the top, but I drop in, and it goes blank. I can't hear anything. You kind of get in this, like, weird zone, and, you know what I mean, it's just, like, wall after wall after wall.
And how long does the average ride take you?
It's pretty quick. I mean, it all happens so fast, and you're kind of in that zone, so... I mean, I did the Olympic run, and I finished at the bottom, like, uh-oh, I think I'm doing all right. And then my score came up, and it was like a 46 out of 50. So
that's amazing stuff.
All right.
And how many times, if you take a given maneuver, how many times might you have to do it before it's yours? We say in music that you have to play a song 100 times before you begin to know it, 1,000 times before it's yours. How many times before you learn a new aerial maneuver might it be? I don't know if anybody's ever...
That's a good question, because, like, you know what I mean? I can learn a trick in a day, but, like, to really have it yours, it takes at least... you know, it'll take a week of just straight doing it, for me.
And, like, how many hours a day can you actually snowboard, Kren?
I've tried, like, it depends on the day. It depends where you are.
Depends if girls are watching.
Yeah, you know. I had that one once where, I don't want to say it, but so there's this thing where you can do, like, you know, it's called a butter or whatever. It's like these little slides. You
sure.
know what I mean? And whatever. It's just something dumb to do in front of, like, chicks or whatever.
Sure.
And so I just remember when I was younger, I was like,
my whole career is based on doing dumb stuff for chicks, so don't feel
like. I saw these girls and I tried to, like, slide by them, you know what I mean? And I fully just, like, just hooked an edge and fell, and I'm just like, damn.
My whole career is also based on that as well.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I've learned a lot since then, so.
No, you haven't. Believe me. Believe me, I haven't learned a thing, son.
All right.
Believe me, if it wasn't for chicks, we wouldn't look like this. We wouldn't sound like this. Yeah. We wouldn't do any sports at all. We would never shave. We'd smoke 3 packs a day. And we would crash our cars with a lot more impunity than we do, okay?
Oh, man.
Never demonize what makes you get out and do what you do.
That it's so funny because you always notice the hot girl that's at the skate park.
Oh,
just
tell
sitting
me.
In the crowd, and you're like, all right, well, we'll go a little bigger on this run.
Oh, totally, yeah. Totally. For some people, it's the coach's effect. For me, it was always one dame about 7 rows back and in the middle. And somebody said, Dave, when you come and you do radio, you're not going to be talking to a huge crowd of tens of thousands of people. I said, I hope I don't burst your bubble. But I was always just concentrating on the blonde about 7 feet back. And I see one through the window right now.
Yeah, you, baby. That's right. You're running with the devil, mama. Yeah, take a little ride down the ski lift, baby.
I think I'm talking to your agent.
Yeah.
That's how it always worked. I never thought about the money. I never thought about anything except the art form, make the music as best as possible. And I mean, who was I making it for?
All the rest is the bonus. That's what's awesome is, like, I mean, I love to snow, but I love to just be on the mountains and stuff. So it's like, it's a trip that I get paid to, like.
It's the during instead of the at, I call it. When most people who climb mountains never really make it to the top, but they're always going up and down. You agree?
Yeah, for sure.
And whether or not you were competing, I got to admit that you look like you'd be there regardless. And that, I mean that in a true way. You look like a world traveler, man.
All right.
What's next up for you? What goes from here?
I don't know. It's crazy. There's like one more snowboard contest, the U.S. Open, and it's up in Vermont, so it's close by. But I've never won that contest. Out of all the contests I've done, I've won, like, you know, almost all of them so far, but except that one for some reason. Since I was younger.
Is there an ancient Indian burial ground involved?
I swear that thing's cursed, man. I swear. Because I show up and I was. Probably the favorite to win last time I came there. And I mean, like, first run, first contest, it wasn't even the major event. It was like this kind of handrail thing that we do. And like, first thing I go, I like pull this weird muscle in my back and I couldn't ride. I'm just like, But
I pulled that muscle.
This is the year I'm gonna get it done.
I pulled that muscle at Scores the other night. let me ask you this. Do you have special good luck stuff that you do? Like certain clothes you wear? Do you turn 3 times and bow towards the Citicorp Bank? Or I think that's a religion. But
I had a couple things a long time ago, but I try to get rid of them because I hate, like, if I don't do them, then I'm all nervous. You know what I mean?
Good point.
So I try to get rid of them. But I, at the Olympics, I had this weird thing where I had to tie my bib a certain way.
Sure.
I don't know what it. What, you know what? It wasn't my fault because I had this year so far. I haven't lost a contest yet, and I mean, I'm on this roll, and so I didn't want to change anything.
Precisely.
Like, every event I had, like, opened up with Back in Black. That was the song. So I was like, at Olympics, I'm like, I want that song. I'm not dropping until I get it. You know what I mean? It was just like, I didn't want to change anything.
It makes perfect sense. It's not superstition. It's not magic. It's somebody who's paying infinite detail to every minuscule part of a detail. And if this is the tunes were right, then if you tied something the right way. I used to turn 3 times in the shower after putting the cold water on, all the way up till one day I hit my head and it looked like the murder scene in Psycho. So that was the end of the good luck. Can you wait around for 2 more minutes? We're going to play a commercial. We're talking to Sean White. He's brought the gold for the Olympics here. He's the flying tomato. We're going to be back with 4 more minutes of him after 1 minute of this, baby.